I want to share a revelation with you about cleansing invaders from the house. A couple days ago, I had a dream after my prayers for wisdom and direction during the night. And I saw my house, but it was not my physical house, but my spiritual house of UBM. People had come in to pollute us with leaven, who were clearly worldly. They were putting on an air of being happy and smiling and chatty so as to appear acceptable to our flesh. And they were spread out throughout the house, here and there. And I saw one man from a past faction rebellion who I knew to be conscienceless concerning the word. That's usually what happens to him. He's very seductive and subtle to deceive the saints. And he had his children in the house. This was one frame that I saw. And I saw several of them, his children, even in my bed. And I went out to the work shed behind the house. And I saw that they had fixed it up as living quarters, like servants' quarters or something. And maybe this means they are servants but not sons. Obviously that's true. The difference between servants and sons is pretty plain. A son serves for love and a servant serves because he has to. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, the scripture says. The son abideth forever. And that's because of sin, we're told. So, I told these people, the children and all, to leave, and they acted like they didn't know why I was saying this. And, they feel very self-righteous normally. They were either deluded or deceptive or both. And I had the feeling that they were there by permission of my wife, although not my physical wife, but those who receive the seed of the word that I teach. And from this I believe that God is asking for more action from the brethren in getting the factious out of the house. And I'm talking the spirits, not necessarily the people, but sometimes it takes that too. Through prayers and commands and through reporting their actions, just as they were reported to the early apostles, they should be removed. Examples of 1 Corinthians 1:11, 1 Corinthians 11:18 and 19, 1 Corinthians 5 and 1, people reported to the apostles so that they would know things that were going on. And for instance, 1 Corinthians 11:18 says, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that divisions exist among you." So he heard from the Corinthians this report that they were having divisions. And I partly believe it, for there must also be factions among you, so that they that are approved may be made manifest among you. So, you know, when God says something, many people put more sway on their human sentiment than they do on just plain old obedience, you know. And that's part of the test. We're being tested by the word. You know, if the word's in your heart, like the parable of the sower, you'll bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100. But if you don't obey it, it's really not in your heart. It might be in your mind, but it's not in your heart. And this dream that I received was so similar that I felt to share this one that was sent to us by Lakeisha. It's funny how these dreams come to us at the same time. It's just a sign from God, you know. And Lakeisha Davis said this. She said, "The dream started out with me in my current home," and representing her spiritual house too. "It was dark outside," which we believe probably represents ignorance of God and His ways and wickedness going on and so on and so forth. My house was bigger on the inside than it was in real life, which we thought might represent the larger body of UBM. There was a family there with me, Hispanic or Caucasian. So, and since this is a spiritual revelation, we're talking about another spiritual family in her spiritual house. And obviously that does not belong to her spiritual family. You know, we're all one family in Christ, obviously, but this is another family in her spiritual house. So that's the only way I can take it, actually. There was a tornado coming, and we became fearful and wondering how we could protect ourselves because there was no good shelter available. Well, saints, the Lord is coming. He's coming with the destroyer, as he did in Egypt. He's coming to cleanse the house of enemy aliens and their ways and their gods, which are demons. Isaiah 29:5 is about one of those battles, the Sennacherib scenario, and it says, "But the multitude of thy foes shall be like small dust, the multitude of the terrible ones as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be in an instant, suddenly." Kind of like a tornado. "She shall be visited," and this is, of course, Zion, which is spoken a little further down. "She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake." There's that earthquake we've been expecting. "And great noise, with whirlwind," there it is, a tornado, "and tempest, and the flame of a devouring fire." So who's going to be protected from this tornado? It's God who is targeting the enemy. You don't have to fear. He is taking out, cleansing the body of invaders, right? So we may be in the house even with the other family or another family, you know, people that are not members of the body of the house. And that's not really legal, you know. So the Lord's going to take care of this situation. And he's going to come with a flame of devouring fire like a whirlwind. "And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel," because all over the world this battle is going on, "the nations, the dragon, is seeking to devour the man-child and the woman." Okay. "And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel," that is the Lion of God, explained a little lower here as Zion, "even all that fight against her and her stronghold," you know, which is Mount Zion, "and that distress her shall be as a dream, as a vision of the night." In other words, it's all just going to pass away in a hurry. "Our shelter is to be cleansed of the presence and the ways of the wicked." You know, 1 Corinthians 5:5 says, "to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh." We'll come back to this a little later, this delivering such a one unto Satan. The Lord is delivering the whole world unto Satan. What he did individually here, he's going to do corporately, and so that people will come out from among them. "To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord." "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Well, the lump being the corporate body, God wants a spotless and blemishless body, does he not? So he says you have to get out the little leaven because it leavens the whole lump. "Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened." And this, of course, is the process of sanctification individually and corporately of the body. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. There's your protection right there. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven of, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we have a Passover if we eat only the unleavened bread. They were forbidden for those 7 days to eat leavened bread, or they would be destroyed from the body of Christ, from the body of Israel. And so we know that the unleavened bread is the Word of God, Jesus the Word. We already have a good shelter. It's not going to be for the aliens. It's going to be for the children of God. So, going on, we said we even thought of covering ourselves with certain pieces of furniture. A mattress. That's interesting. Those under the rest of God through faith will be spared. What does it take to be in the rest? Well, it takes faith. Everyone that believes enters into that rest, Paul said in Hebrews. So it takes faith. If a person's got faith, they've got a clear conscience. Because if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness towards God, right? So this right here calls people that are walking in willful disobedience. I've noticed that Christians who turn away from God and to disobedience lose their faith. When judgment comes upon them, they're not prepared for it. Because they really don't think God will hear. They might convince their mind and their mouth to say and do things, but it doesn't mean that their heart tells them that they're in good shape with God. I've known people out there that are preaching, and they say that God gave them their last chance, and they didn't take it. But this doesn't stop them. They still have selfish ambitions, so they still do their own thing. So those that are in the rest will be spared. It is a place of safety. And Lakeisha said, we could hear the tornado as it began to rip apart the house. Well, I think this is happening, and for a very good reason. It's the removing of the things that can be shaken. As the Lord warned us in Hebrews 12 and 25, on down, he said, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warneth them on earth, so there are people here who are warning from the Lord on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven. That is the one who spoke the word of God. Those who warn on earth merely speak the word of God, but God spoke it from heaven. If they're disobeying him, they're disobeying them, right? There is no safety in anybody that does this. They will not escape, as he's telling us here. And this great shaking is coming to do that, to remove them from the body, the aliens, the other family, you know, from the body. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble, not the earth only, but also the heaven. Whose voice, let's see. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble, not the earth only, but also the heaven. I believe that's these days. There is a repeat of what happened in those days, in these days. History is repeating, so we're about to see a trembling. And I mean not only physical, not only spiritual trembling of the earth, but physical trembling of the earth also. God may be showing us the timing of his shaking by the physical shakings that are coming around the globe. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. Even in a spiritual shaking, which we've had revelations of too, people are removed through that shaking, that earthquake, that separation of the earth. The earth, of course, is our flesh, you know, and our bodies, but God is separating people. He's separating Matthew 13, the tares, and putting them in bundles. He's doing it now. Brother Tim got a word like that just the other day. He was asking, where are we? And he got the place where the tares were being bundled up for burning. That's true. This is happening. And it's a shaking. It's an earthquake. It's a separating of the earth. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that have been made. Talking about man-made and man's works, etc., etc. That those things which are not shaken may remain. Hallelujah. Just remember, tornadoes come to shake. And they shouldn't be removing you, right? The Lord is bringing judgment, but that should not remove you. Some people are being removed unto tribulation, to be under the beast, as we'll see a little further down in this revelation. It's pretty awesome, actually. Wherefore, receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace, whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. Notice, we need grace. We have to give grace to get grace. We talked about that before. But we need grace, whereby we may offer service well-pleasing unto God. You can't serve God without grace. You can't obey God without grace. You can't do much of nothing without grace. And that's why people fall away, is they don't give grace to others and they don't get grace. For our God is a consuming fire. He is busy burning up the wood, hay, and the stubble. Oh, praise our God for His sanctifying power, right? Amen. And Lakeisha said, we prayed and we trusted in God to protect us and just waited. Well, some who are not of our house are trusting God to save them, but won't accept the necessary sanctification for the Passover, right? So there are people that expect, they have no fear, in other words, but a lot of people don't have any fear of God, because they don't have the beginning of wisdom. But they have no fear in the midst of all the things that God says to the contrary, all the warnings He gives to the contrary. They should fear, but they don't. And one of the sure signs that demons have entered in is absolute total lack of fear in God in a person who once knew and respected the Word of God. Many times, it's just as we just read, the Lord turns people over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, so their spirit can be saved in the day of the Lord. Lakeisha said, I think at one point I became content with the fact that I might die. Oh, praise the Lord. If you're looking that this is a spiritual revelation, because we must lose our life in order to gain our life, just as Jesus said. And we should be at peace with that. We should embrace our cross. The multitudes who are going into tribulation underneath Satan and his beast have not embraced their cross. That's why they're going there. And she said, next thing I know was that I was caught up in this huge tornado and being spun around. But I wasn't ripped apart. Oh, praise the Lord. First thing that came to me was that she wasn't dismembered from her body, because she held fast the head, who is Jesus the Word, right? We're told that in Colossians chapter 2 and 19. And not holding fast the head, in other words, if you hold fast to the Word in the midst of your trials, you got nothing to worry about. Holding fast the head keeps you from being torn apart, separated from the body. Not holding fast the head, from whom all the body, being supplied and knit together, from whom all the body, being supplied and knit together through the joints and bands, So dismembering is taking your members away from your body. It's breaking the joints, right? If you don't have hold fast the head, you break the joints. Increasing with the increase of God. And of course, we know Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, and of both joints and marrow." The joints. This word of God separates the joints. If you've got a diseased member, of course, God says it's better to cut it off, enter into heaven, than to try to go there lame, right? And the Lord is doing that. He is dismembering people from the body. Not that He's not replacing them. He does. Because the body is the body. But a person can be displaced because of their errors and because of sin. In other words, let no man take thy crown. Right? Many people think they're in the body, and they're not in the body. The body is the body of Christ, and He lives in that body. People who fall away, Jesus doesn't live in them. You can say you were born again. It doesn't make any difference. You're not in the body of Christ if you're walking in sin, in willful sin, because He is the one who dwells in the body. And quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, the Word of God reveals your thoughts and your intents. And if a person will obey it, it will put to death their old life. If a person will not obey it, it will bring destruction upon them until they do, or be reprobated, one or the other. That's what the Word does. And Lakeisha said, "I kept praying to God." In other words, praying without ceasing. Well, we know that prayer changes things. And we should pray together for all of our brethren, that we all pass the test of the waters of the Word. Do you remember Gideon's army? They had an enemy coming against them, a very large enemy coming against them in the flesh, wanting to destroy Israel. And God commanded Gideon to bring the warriors down to the waters that He might prove them. And with those waters, He proved who He wanted in this army to conquer the beastly, fleshly army that was coming against them. Everybody wasn't acceptable in that battle. You know, we've had many revelations that a revival is going to start here. Not that it may not start in many places, but the revelations that God has given to us is a worldwide revival is going to start here. And the Lord's been telling us He's getting the foundation ready. And just like bringing the people down to the water to test them to see how they handled the water, to see who was going to be in this army who would conquer the flesh beast, even their own flesh beast. A person who is diligent to handle the water correctly won't have any problem conquering the flesh beast. And it'll be done just like it was in Gideon's army, with that ram's horn, or the spoken words of their mouth. You know, breath gives, the ram's horn gives vocals to breath when you blow through it, right? So that's the way it is with the Spirit of God. Breath and Spirit are the same word. So actually, the Spirit of God coming out of their mouths is what conquered the beast enemy. And Gideon's army was now whittled down to 300 people. Why did God say He was doing that, for goodness sake? They were as many as the sands of the sea. In other words, a whole bunch of demons coming after them, you know. Well, because He said, "Lest you vaunt yourselves against Me," saying that their own power did this. See, God's power is made perfect in weakness. What is the test of the waters? How we handle the waters? Well, all the commands of Scripture are there to test you and to put to death your old man. There's the test of love for one another. Jesus said, this is how you'll know them, right? There's the test of forgiveness from the heart, because it's commanded of the Lord. He speaks in Matthew 18 about the hypocritical people who don't do this and bring judgment upon themselves in their own house. There's the test of obedience in relationships. There's the test of faction, yeah. There's the test of the tornado in Lakeisha's dream. What do you think about that tornado? Well, Nahum 1 and 2 says, "The Lord is a jealous God and avengeth. The Lord avengeth and is full of wrath. The Lord taketh vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will by no means clear the guilty." Okay, people that the only guilty that get cleared or cleansed are those that apply the blood through repentance and faith. But if a person doesn't repent, they're guilty, and he will not clear them. He will judge them instead. "The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind." There it is. It's the Lord that controls the whirlwind that was coming against Lakeisha's larger house there. And what's the purpose? Well, to remove that which does not belong there. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. "The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet." Proverbs 10 and 25 says, "When the whirlwind passeth, the wicked is no more." Well, there it is. The tornado is to take away the wicked. The wicked is no more. So she's looking at this tornado coming down the road. That's what it's all about. "But the righteous is an everlasting foundation." Well, she wasn't taken away. In Psalm 58 and 9, we're told, "Before your pots can feel the thorns, he will take them away with a whirlwind." The thorns will be taken away with a whirlwind. The Lord is going to get rid of the thorns. Remember, the thorns represented the curse upon God's people. The wicked are the curse upon God's people. The wicked put Jesus on the cross. The wicked put us on the cross every day. They fight against us every day, constantly. And then he says, "The green and the burning alike." Isaiah 29 and 5. Remember, this is that Sennacherib scenario. He says, "But the multitude of thy foes shall be like the small dust, the multitude of the terrible ones, as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be in an instant suddenly. She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts, with thunder, with earthquake, and great noise, with whirlwind and tempest, and the flame of a devouring fire. The multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her stronghold, and that distress her, shall be as a dream, a vision of the night. Shall be taken away." So, when the whirlwind passeth, the wicked is no more. Of course, this is speaking of the Lord, because we found out in Nahum 1 and 2 that the Lord is using the whirlwind. He hath his way in the whirlwind. Praise the Lord. And by the way, I think whirlwinds could obviously be hurricanes too, you know, but both are whirlwinds, obviously. But then Lakeisha said, I caught a hold of a thick branch on a tree. I believe the branch here is Jesus and the man-child, who is called the branch in Scripture. And she said, I was at an odd angle. Maybe I was upside down, but I was saved. And Isaiah 4:2 says, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. You hear that? Why is that? What are they escaping from? Well, they've escaped the tornado for one thing. They've escaped separation for one thing. She wasn't dismembered, right? And Jeremiah 23:5 says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And this is the Lord's coming in his epiphany, which is his shining forth from his first fruits. And his plan is to do this to the whole body of Christ. He makes opportunity to do this for the whole body of Christ. Whether all will partake of it or not, we will soon see, right? In Zechariah 6:12, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of his place. So this is a process of maturity before the full anointing comes, right? He shall grow up out of his place. He shall build the temple of the Lord. This is why the dragon is seeking to devour the man-child in these days, because he has to be matured. What is matured? It's crucified flesh. The outer man's decaying, the inner man's being renewed. They can't happen without the other, right? Oh, praise the Lord. And Lakeisha said, I got this verse in relationship to this dream, John 12, 20-36, specifically verse 29. You know, saints, Jesus was glorified through death to self. And he said, we must also. This is our safety, because righteousness delivereth from death. Of course, he's talking about negative death here. Righteousness delivers from the kind of death that the world deals out. But also the world deals out death to self. Because when we obey in the midst of these trials that the world puts us in, we end up dead to self. Glory be to God. So let me read part of this text to you. John 12:20 says, now there were certain Greeks among those that went up to worship at the feast. Interesting. These therefore came to Philip, who was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Well, how will the lost world see Jesus? Remember, at this time, they weren't saved. They were obviously very curious, but the salvation of the Jews was after the Lord turned away from salvation of the Gentiles was after the Lord turned away from the Jews, right? How will the lost see Jesus? Well, it'll be through the crucifixion of our flesh. Amen? Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. Andrew cometh and Philip, and they tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Well, how's he going to get glorified? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. That's how it's glorified. He that loveth his life loseth it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where? To death on the cross. People fight against this with everything they have. They don't obey the word. They reason, well, if I do that, I'll die. Yeah, right. That's right. That's what we're here for. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will the Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? For this cause came I in unto this hour. He came what? He came to die. We too. Father, glorify thy name. There came therefore a voice out of heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The multitude therefore that stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. But Jesus answered and said, this voice cometh not for my sake, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Well, we'll see that again in a minute. We've talked about that before. This thing is just woven together so neatly, honestly, by the Lord. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince be cast out. Why? Because Jesus went to his cross. Well, when is he going to be cast out of here? When we go to our cross. That's what we're here for, right? Amen. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. What happened? They died to self. They received resurrection life. The world has no more power over you once this happens. Ooh, hallelujah. So I asked for a confirmation and I got Matthew 12 and 28. And that's pretty close numbers, you know. Matthew 12 and 28 says, but if by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. So, saints, let us cast these demons out of our body of Christ, right? Cast them out. Exercise your faith. One will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000, right? Cast them out. Exercise your faith. Oh, thank you, Father. In the second part of the dream, people, including myself, were running into a corporate building. There's another parallel revelation here. We believe this corporate building is UBM, Body of Christ, to be protected from the storm. And when you entered the door in the back, to the left, that's those who lag behind spiritually, the goats, right, on the left, apostate Christianity, right, that's still in the body. God is cleansing the body of these. That's what the storm is coming for, to cleanse from these people, right, and from their demons. So on the left, there was a big room, which we consider to be the broad road. Of anything, of the anything that goes gang, you know, they'll do anything, right? Many are called, but few are chosen, Lakeisha writes. And it was a big room like a cafeteria. In other words, a place where spiritual food is served to the front right. Okay, the front right, which is the mature disciples, the sheep. To the front right were rooms, and ahead was a descending stairwell. And Lakeisha put, this is a progression of death to self. And I put, of course, that so this is also resurrection life, because after death to self, that's what comes, right? This descending stairwell. In the left room, in other words, where the goats hang out, were people of different races. Black, etc. They were sitting down at a huge table, praying to God to save them from the tornado. In other words, people don't want to get separated from the body, and they're worried about it, but they're not worried enough to depart from their sins many times. She said, I was praying too, but I didn't think God was going to spare that room. In the revelation, she did not think God was going to spare that room. There are people that are crying out to God to spare them from these things, but they don't get spared. In the dream itself, she didn't think God was going to spare that room, because God will not spare apostate Christianity. He wants to separate the leaven from his new lump, right? So I began praying to God to save me. And I was led, probably by the Spirit, along with a few others, young people, Hispanic or white, to the metal stairwell that descended below ground. Some people start down that and they don't finish the job. There was a janitor's room we passed on the way down the stairs. Well, I believe that janitors probably represent those ministers who keep the building clean, right? Keep order in the building. Make everything work right. There were many flights of stairs. And Lakeisha said there's a wordplay on flights. Escape, like Matthew 24 and 20. And 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. She said we were going beneath the ground level. Well, beneath the ground represents death and burial. But it's also considered a place of safety from tornadoes and storms, isn't it? So therefore, you put the two together and you find out that if you're dead to self, you don't have to worry about threats. A dead man can't be killed, can he? As I said before, you can slap a dead man, he just turns the other cheek. You slap him, and he just turns the other cheek again. At one point, we saw crude oil. And now, crude oil is another name for petroleum. It comes from the Greek petra, which means rock. As you know, we know who the rock is. The rock is Jesus. And it comes from the Latin oleum, which is oil. Could be the anointing of the Spirit here, right? The anointing of the Lord, of the rock, right? And the oil was on a wall. And I believe that means the anointing to be sanctified. You know, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God to be willing to go down this road in the first place. Many, many Christians are not empowered to walk the road to Golgotha. You know, they're not empowered to walk the way of the cross, right? And we decided against doing something because it was flammable. What would they have decided to not do because the oil was flammable and would burn them up, right? She said it must have involved fire. The word kindle came to my mind. Well, the first mention of that word is Exodus 35 and 3. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations on the Sabbath day. Fire would have been your works on the Sabbath day, which is to cease from your works, right? And we know the Sabbath represents ceasing from our own works, the works of the flesh. So no one is dead to self that will kindle the fire of the tongue. James 3 and 5 says, so the tongue also is a little member, and boasteth of great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. Yep, the tongue is a destroyer, is it not? And the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body. Now you know what is defiling God's body. It's people's tongues that are disobedient to the word of God. They are defiling the body. But they won't get away with it for long. That's what all this warning is about. And setteth on fire the wheel of nature, or cycle of life, and is set on fire by hell. So you can see now why they chose not to do something, chose not to speak wrongly, because the fire would burn them, right? She said, shortly after that, we made it to a door. Well, Jesus is the door, isn't he? That led into a bathroom or a restroom, which is a place to get rid of waste, right? can't take that into the kingdom. This was a huge bathroom. It had many stalls and was very neat. It was kind of damp and gray, like getting rid of dead flesh, right? Just compile that with the waste and get rid of the dead flesh, right? Then we came into a large connected bathroom, which was orangish and more beautiful. Some young man said, cool, we could all have our own bathroom. And of course we do, you know, because the Lord sanctified every one of us individually. And He's working on cleansing every one of us individually of all of our waste, of all of our useless flesh, right? She said, then in one of the stalls we found a young man, white with black hair, representing submitted to the mind of the flesh, submitted to darkness, right? He had red clothes, representing works of sin, which is red according to Isaiah 1 and 18. Our sins are red, right? And your clothes, of course, is your actions, your works. The righteous acts of the saints are their garments, right? So red clothes represents works of sin. Who couldn't find his way out? Well, he went down that place of death, but he didn't make it, did he? He couldn't find his way out. In other words, he was lost without sanctification. I began to wonder if we would face the same trial. Well, Jesus spoke of those who began to build the house but couldn't finish, right? People laughed at him. But you know what? We can finish the house. We can. And Jesus said how to do it. Don't build it on the sand. Be a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. That's what he said, how to do it, right? Amen. Then, in either another bathroom or room ahead of us was a young girl. These are all things to parables along the way to, that you're going to be able to observe on your trek towards death to self, right? A young girl, a teenager with long, sandy, blonde hair. And, you know, I think the hair's pretty always symbolic of 1 Corinthians 11, submission, you know. And this means somewhat submissive to the mind of Christ, but maybe lukewarm, I don't know. And glasses, meaning, of course, their vision was not good. Their discernment was not good, right? Could the bathrooms represent different levels of sanctification, like the wood, the hay, the stubble, the star, the moon, the sun glory? Well, yeah, I believe so. It would be pretty good, I think, Lakeisha. So she said, we all came together into a large room connected to the previous bathroom. Oh, that's interesting. Everything's connected to death, right? And especially unity. You know, after death comes resurrection life and perfect unity in the body. Why is the body not unified? Because there's too many star glories. They've got their own glory that keeps them separate. However, moon glory is unified. If we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, moon glory represents being united with Him in death. Moon glory. And it comes before sun glory. When once again we have our own life, but this time we're resurrected in His image and the life is unified, right? So moon glory comes before sun glory in all of our stages of Christian growth. And the moon, of course, is dead. So it represents death. And she said, it was an abandoned military lounge hideout. Well, you know, some of these things that we're entering into have been abandoned about 2,000 years ago with the great falling away. So, a military lounge hideout is a place for warriors to rest in the Lord and be refreshed and be in safety, right? And it was like a break room and had a TV with the news on it, Maybe that means the real good news. I began to think we could live down there, for there was even food there. Well, you know, to those who are dead to self, unbelief, and doubt, there is every provision for the days ahead. We know that the Lord said in Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ." So when you believe this, you just rest. You don't run around trying to make sure that you got everything you need to go all the way through the tribulation, because you're just going to be packing it on your back and breaking your back. And then somebody will steal it from you and take your life for it. No, just have to trust in the Lord. I always said, well, what's the first thing people going to do when they run out of food? Well, they're going to look for a Mormon or somebody that's doing the same thing, storing up food, right? Knock them in the head and take their food. But you know what? If you're dead to self, you can do miracles. You can multiply the food. I've seen this happen several times. And I know that God told me this is how He's going to provide for His people in the days to come. While they're all out there trying to, you know, supply their own needs, you know. She said in the last part, we went outside. We were now ground level again. Somehow, we must have went up some stairs, because when I said we had to go at the end, I knew we had to go down some stairs. Well, no, you don't have to go upstairs after you're dead. Resurrection life comes free. It comes without your works. You don't have to. You have to work to go upstairs, right? Remember the escalator in one of my dreams? It represented not man's works. The Lord just carrying you, right? So, she said there was a large rooftop that we were on. Well, after death to self, it takes no works of our own to reach resurrection life. In this place, we can go to the world with the gospel. And this is where she ended up. Because she said it was dark outside, which I believe represents tribulation. The scene was a big city, probably representing world Babylon, right? To whom we are sent, right? But we have to be prepared to go. And our preparation to go is death to self. Some people want to do everything, but they don't want to do the thing that's necessary to bring Christ in them. Because it's Christ that's going to do the work, it's not us. And except you lose your life, you won't gain your life. Who is Christ? And as the outer man is decaying, that's the old man, the inner man is being renewed. Who is Christ? Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, we have to cooperate with God in this crucifixion of flesh. We have to obey the Word of God. People that don't obey the Word of God in these days are getting taken out quickly. All right. There were people on the roof who seemed to be having a big party. Yep, that's what they do in Babylon. People in idolatry. Then, out of the sky, from the left side, was descending orange fire in the shape of a pentagram. Satan. Pentagram coming down. That's Satan over the people on the roof, right? That Satan and his beast will have rule over those who refuse death to self. And all this is for the purpose of bringing them to death. Amen? See, even when you're under the beast, folks, if you obey and not deny him before men, the Lord will bring you to that death to self. And you'll be ready whether you go or whether you stay. Some people think they're going, but they're not ready to go, because the last enemy to be conquered is death. The last enemy. What do you have to conquer to get to death? Well, your old flesh, for one thing, you know. And are you ready to go to heaven with your flesh all alive? Well, no. Flesh and blood don't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Our baptism represents death at the hands of obedience to the Word, right? The pentagram was so huge, Lucretia said. It represents the broad way of the whole world. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one. See, it's either Christ or Antichrist. You're either in the body of Christ by obedience to Him and walking in His Word, or you're in the evil one. Sometimes people jump in and out of both. Sad thing. But you can't grow up fast like that. In shape, it could have been larger than a football field in circumference. I said something like, we need to get out of here. And we left. And by this time, many will know that they have made a big mistake in neglecting their salvation. Because you know what's coming? For those people that have not cooperated with God in this death to self, I'll read it to you. Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan. Well, that wouldn't be too bad. He's cast down. No, he's cast down to the earth where the people are. But there are some people on the earth that don't, they're not really on the earth. They're in heavenly places in Christ. That's the only safe place. So he's cast down to the earth. Oh my goodness, that's why the tribulation is the tribulation. The deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth. Well, that's strong delusion there, isn't it? The deceiver of the whole world. And his angels were cast down with him. Oh, that's not good. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Hey, you know who else is going to be cast down when he gets cast down? The accusers of the brethren, the ones that work for him. Santa's little helpers. They'll be cast down. Wow. Who accuseth them before our God day and night? Ooh, see, that's what they do. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they love not their life even unto death. That's how you overcome the devil. Lose your life, right? They overcame him because of death to self. Amen. So, moving on. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and ye that dwell in them. He's not talking about the people in physical heaven, folks. He's talking about the people who are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians. Woe to the earth for the sea, because the devil has gone down unto you having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. Those in heavenly places in Christ Jesus will not have to worry. So stop wasting time. This is the only defense you're going to have. Abide in Jesus, who is the Word of God. A great chastening is coming. Now, I'm going to share with you a piece of another revelation that was given to Lucretia too in these days. And it's all about pretty much the same thing. Faction in the body since the end of May when the dream was given. So I wanted to make that plain. I'm going to share most of this with you. I don't know that I'll get to share all of it. She said the dream was on 5/31/14, and she said 31 means offspring. And that's going to come in a little later. You'll understand why offspring is so important here. She said, during this dream, it was always bright daylight outside. In other words, before the tribulation. And UBM was in fellowship. Local UBM, I think, is just a microcosm of the macrocosm, meaning it's a type of larger UBM. What's happening is happening around the world, so we know this is true. So I'm going to go on down just a little bit and share this with you to save a little bit of time. So we started saying our goodbyes for the day. In other words, towards the end and the beginning of the tribulation. I noticed another small group in the back area. Well, another group in there where we're having church. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spiritually, they are behind the others. They were in the back. They were behind the others in maturity and devotion to Christ. But it's another group. It's not a part of the body. You see, there are people hang out with the body that are not a part of the body because Jesus, the Word, is not living in them. Do you understand that? They were sitting down. In other words, they were really not joining in spirit. Right? You know what happens when people join in spirit. They get with it, don't they? There were a lot of little black children. And we even had little black children in our local and larger body, right? Because the microcosm is just a small part of the macrocosm, right? Well, so there's two groups of black children here. Those that are not a part of the body that are hanging out. Of course, children are immaturity, right? And black is evil or sin. And even among the body, there's those that are black children. Ah. So, this is plain that God considers some to be a part of us who are deceived, while others were never a part of us and they are being rejected. Walking in darkness is what these represents. Immaturity and walking in darkness, right? Any of these walking in darkness at the time of the dream in May could be already gone. Because we know some people have fallen away during that time. But also, we still have some who are infected with faction because the Lord has told us so. And they're now walking in blackness. But they're trying to hide it. And they do a pretty good job sometimes. They put on a big smiley face, you know, like my revelation at the very beginning of all this. But they're just trying to deceive you, as Jude also says. They're in the process of being separated because they hide their sin instead of confessing it and holding fast to the head. Why do they hide their sin? Because they don't want to go to death. We confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's death to self. Amen? They don't want to do that. They want to hold on to their old life. They don't know that they're choosing Satan over God. In the other group, that is those not considered a part of the body, there was a little black girl, 6 or 7, with short hair and had a red floral print dress on. She was playing and bent over very far so that you could see her underwear. Well, I would think that's a kind of a type of immature Christians whose nakedness is being revealed, right? They think that they can hide their sin, but this is a deception. For those around them know what it is. Did you ever notice that, saints, that people do these things and you're saying, what in the world, you know? Why are they doing that? You know, you see it, but they don't see it. They don't act like nothing ever happened, you know. It's normal to them. I became very upset because the other group was setting a bad example for our children. Yeah, in the local and we should say larger body, right? Oh, wow. Pretty neat, huh? How the Lord exhorts us here to have wisdom. You know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, the Scripture is our standard. Some people talk about standards and they talk about dress codes and all these other things. But really, the Scripture is our standard, you know. And she went on to say, well, we were hugging and saying our goodbyes. I remember specifically Bill and Trish and Greg, but I saw others also. And, well, I sat down towards the painting on the wall by the door. And this painting, by the way, is is an amazing thing. It was there before we ever got there, but I believe it represents something to the larger body. It's a picture of a shepherd, a big crack around the rock, and a shepherd stepping out onto a little tongue of land with sheep behind him. And we've likened that to be the tongue of land in the valley over here, over the water. It really meant something to us. So, because there is a refuge for the people who are dead to self, and that's what it was all about. Then the scene changed, but it was still in the same corner. In the corner was a tall white man with blue eyes. I don't know anybody that looks like this, actually, but thin, because, so it's spiritual, right? Thin white hair and deep-set wrinkles. He looked like he was copying David. Well, you know, the spirits that are in competition with you, you know, who want you to be deceived about who the Davids are, is going to impress you with a different David, a false man-child, a false Jesus. Just like the other dreams that we've had about this that are very plain. And they impress their victims that don't worry about it. David isn't so cool. He's pretty much of a bad guy himself, you know, so you're okay. Well, three shorter women were surrounding him, but I can't remember if they were the same ones from earlier or not. He was upset. This man, I believe he was a principality. He was upset with UBM and was saying that he was either going to destroy it or take it over. Hey, I've heard that before. This has been the focus of the factious spirits and their plans all along. From the very beginning, it was to take it over. People greedy of filthy lucre, greedy of gain, trying to make disciples, going out to impress people that they're right and everybody else is right is wrong. Satan hates our ministry, and I'm very glad, because that means we're a threat to him. And when people who walk in willful sin, and everybody knows they walk in willful sin, hate you, that's good. That's a good thing. A person is known by their enemies, right? There were four square paintings on the wall beside him. There was one painting with a white background and an abstract blue peace symbol. Well, white background, I believe, represents purity, and it represents righteousness or sanctification. And the blue peace symbol, I believe, represents blue, meaning heavenly, and peace, in the midst of sanctification, because it was in the middle of the sanctification symbol there. So in the bride is going to have peace in the midst of their sanctification. That's what I think this is saying. And I'm sure that, you know, you can see other things there too. There were color splotches of yellow and hot pink around the outside of this picture, this revelation. And I believe that she, the bride, is surrounded by the enemy. Yellow is for warning. Hot pink splotches is for angry Jezebel spirits. That's what I thought when I read that. I told him I made that one and said, I believe that is a prophecy, Lakeisha said. And added a few other words that I can't remember, but I stressed that I believe, quote unquote, part so that as to be careful not to say thus saith the Lord if he didn't say so. Well, I think that's really good advice for everybody. The man rejected my words. Well, he didn't believe that the bride is going to be in safety, in sanctification, in peace, in the midst of sanctification. The principality doesn't believe in sanctification. And they don't want you to believe in it either. So, of course, they wouldn't agree with that. Then David was standing next to me on my left and told him assertively, not aggressive or passive, that it looks like a prophecy to me. Yeah, I think so too. The false leadership do not believe there is peace through sanctification by the Word. They don't want you to obey the Word. Then I had like a vision in the middle of that scene. I saw a crime scene being investigated. Here was the crime. There was an underground market that were killing children. Well, we know that the factious are killing UBM children with their slander because they're merchants of Babylon, right? The children were about from six on down. The people that are being killed are people that are immature, are they not? They were being dismembered. You remember that Lakeisha was not dismembered with the tornado, right? But they're being dismembered with very clean cuts. In other words, they're being taken out of the body by the sword of the wicked. And she put a little note in here. She said, please pray for me. This makes me want to cry, even though this is a spiritual dream. Yeah, amen. Me too. But we're trying to help you to know the way of not being deceived and not being taken over by these spirits. Their heads were cut off and placed in a large silver metal pan. In other words, not holding fast the head, Jesus, through disobedience. Maybe there were about 12 heads in three neat rows on the pan. The fallen among the 12 tribes of Christianity, I believe, is being pointed out here. All of their hair was low cut, so maybe it was little boys. Their eyes were all closed. So the immature who have lost spiritual sight and connection to the head, who is Christ. They were all different races, and they were beautiful children. Their arms were cut off from the shoulders. Remember Rachel's children, who we learned when we went back to look at the original text, that they would come again from the land of the dead. Amen. Their arms were cut off from the shoulders. In other words, being cut off from the members of the body through faction. That's what it does. Faction is people with selfish ambition who use Scripture many times or other things to cause division in order to make disciples. That's what it's all about. She said their bottom half was cut off right above the behind. Well, in other words, their ability to walk in the kingdom is cut off. Their conscience is gone, so they don't get rid of waste. Right? These things were cut off. And this is all absolutely true. It happens to the people that do this. And she said, I firmly believe that this is a spirit coming against UBM and the children of God within it. Yes, I do too. But hold on, saints, there's an end to this. Then I saw a scene where a man was wearing long green surgical gloves and pulling the intestines out of an already dismembered body and the stomach too. Well, I believe that the Lord spoke to me that this means removing truth from their victims and replacing it with hatred and cursing. Why do I believe that? Because listen to the scripture. Psalm 51:6 says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me to know wisdom. So wisdom and truth in the inward parts is being removed from them. After they're dismembered, this is what happens. It's very clear. I have seen people who gained much knowledge and wisdom when they came to our ministry, that when they were either deceived into this or their sins opened the door for them to be taken out by this, they immediately lost every bit of it. And they had no respect for it either. So it would just gone. And there, of course, their path and those that follow them is right back to Babylon, right back where they came from. It's like the Lord is saying, okay, you didn't appreciate it. You didn't use it. You didn't walk in it. So now you go back where you came from. I'll choose someone else. Yep. Also, Psalm 109 and 18. He clothed himself also with cursing as with a garment. Now remember, your garment is your works. He clothed himself with cursing. His work was to be a curse to the people of God. And what? It came into his inward parts. So, truth was replaced with cursing in his inward parts, like water and like oil into his bones. Well, that's where your life comes from. Cursing going into your bones. If you lose truth and wisdom, because it's been pulled out of you, and what's been put into you is cursing, and it goes into your bones, that's where your life proceeds from, your bones, right? In the marrow of your bones is where your blood is made, right? Jeremiah 31 and 33 says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts. There it is again. So they're still in the word, the wisdom, the truth out of these people who they have dismembered. And in their heart will I write it. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That is, if in their inward parts there are these things, the law, wisdom, truth, etc. Ain't that awesome? Boy, God is good. He shows us some neat stuff. The man was talking about it, and a camera was recording him, but I don't know if he was involved or just a reporter. But the organs were fresh, which let me know that this was a fresh kill. Actually, all of the open wounds were fresh, and the blood was still bright red. Then the vision ended, and the local UBM body was sitting down in a small circle, close circle. And Marlene was crying very much over the children. Well, this represents unity. You see, because when the leaven is gone, first of all, nobody can take you out of the Lord's hands without walking in sin. Nobody. It's you that takes you out of the Lord's hand. If you give in to sin, if you give in to words from people's mouths that are contrary to the commands of Scripture, you'll be taken out. But the body will be sanctified. And this represents unity, sitting in a closed circle, unity among the remnants, for the leaven is gone. Unbroken, an unbroken circle. And David comforted and encouraged us with words, but all I can remember is him saying, don't worry. And I believe he made a point that this was necessary. Yep, just think about it, saints. It is necessary because hidden sins that are not dealt with by individuals will cause one to be delivered to the devil for this chastening and or reprobation. You know. So, what's the moral of this story? Draw close to the Lord. Be sure you're obeying the Word of God. Don't be deceived. I asked the Lord for words and got Psalm 86 and 3. Be merciful unto me, O Lord. A good prayer always. You know, it just proves you're not counting on your own works. Mercy. Right? Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for unto thee do I cry all the day long. Yes, ask God for mercy. Do it regularly. Ask God for grace. Do it regularly. You know you have not because you ask not. If a person doesn't pray, it's because they don't have any faith. Because Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. And he also said, ask that your joy may be made full. Ask the Lord for everything. Do you pray? I asked somebody one time, I said, he was talking about lacking this and lacking that. I said, well, did you pray for it? No. What? What? You say you lack this and you lack that, you know it, and you don't pray for it? Oh, what? Don't you know you have not because you ask not? Oh, my. Yeah. So, Psalm 86:3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for unto thee do I cry all the day long. Rejoice, the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Do you lift up your soul to the Lord? What do you think that means? It means you're offering it to him, right? You're not offering it to the devil. Many people are offering their soul to the devil by their actions, by their thoughts, by their bad relationships with the people around them. So let's cry for mercy and grace. Ask the Lord. Lift up your soul to him. Say, here, Lord, you take care of this thing. All right? And she also got Luke 3:38. The son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. The lineage of the sons of God. Isn't that neat? And she went on to say, now I don't know if you remember, but I got this exact verse this morning. And the reason she says that, because she comes by here and we have a prayer meeting. And a bunch of other brethren, we come by here and get a prayer meeting every morning, and we each ask the Lord for a verse. She drew that verse, and then she drew it for this dream. Now, what does that say to you? I know some people say, oh, that's crazy. Yeah, well, if you got faith, and you believe God's going to give you wisdom when you ask, and not double-minded, like James chapter 1 says, then he'll give it to you, right? She said, I looked up the number 38, and it means slavery. Yeah. You know what? You're either in slavery or you're in the lineage of the Lord. And I believe this represents the true lineage of the elect saints of God that's being produced through obedience to His seed, His Word. Are you receiving the seed? Are you giving good ground to the seed? In the parable of the sower, remember that the heart was the womb. It received the seed, which is the sperma, which brings forth the fruit of Christ Himself. Pretty neat, huh? The truth is, we need to be receiving the seed, not let it be snatched out of our hands by the devil. He comes to steal the seed which has been sown in your heart, the Bible says. It's very easy for him, for a lot of people. He just offers them something else. Here, you don't have to hold so hard to that seed. Here, let me give you this. Oh, it's kind of like, reminds me of the natives selling off America for baubles. You know, here, I'll give you this. Whoa, that looks nice. You know? Boy, did they get ripped off, right? Well, that's the way people are with the Satan. They get ripped off pretty easily because their flesh is so hungry for the world. They're so impressed with the world, right? Well, brethren, we should pray and command that these spirits of faction and witchcraft and unforgiveness and rejection and slander and railing and pride and worldliness be gone from our body quickly. And if their hosts refuse to repent, let them go too. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He tells you, put forth the leaven from among you, right? And this is so that we can be a holy body, unleavened, invincible. Did you notice that? A person who is dead to self is invincible. A person who's alive to God is the same thing, because if you're united with Him in the likeness of His death, He shall also be of the resurrection, right? It's invincible. And also, by the way, ready for the master's use. to bring in the harvest. He's raising up sons of God to go forth and do what the Son of God did. And it's still the Son of God doing it, because it's His seed that's sown in your heart that's going forth to do this. Oh, saints, the most important thing you can possibly do is put the Word of God in your heart. That's Jesus, Christ in you. Christ in you is not going to have a problem with none of this. The devil and his work is no problem, no threat to the one in whom Christ lives. Once again, it's pretty neat how that the Lord brings us things all at the same time. It's kind of like a sign that we are kind of used to having. It's pretty miraculous. So on the 9th of this month, Missy Pollock wrote, "The Lord gave me these verses yesterday, and I asked what the Lord wanted to speak more than anything to me today. And the highlighted verses are the specific ones that I was given. And I see some things, but not sure of their meaning, so I'm not going to, for the most part, comment." Okay? And so, well, I'll just read the text to you and we'll see what we see there, okay? Ezra 2 and 59. "And these were they that went up from Telmiah, Telharsha, Sharub, Adan, and Immer. And listen, and they could not show their fathers' houses and their seed, whether they were of Israel." So here's people wanting to come back to the promised land, and they can't prove it's their promised land. "Do you know that if you don't have the lineage in you because of the seed of Jesus Christ, the Word of God lives in you, you can't prove it's your promised land. You will be rejected. There's not a type or a shadow that's not going to be fulfilled. If the Word is not in you, it don't belong to you. The land does not belong to you. Please, listen." Verse 60, "The children of Deliah, the children of Tobiah, the children of Nakoda, 652. And all these children, by the way, have no lineage because of who their father is. Who is your father? Is your spiritual father Jesus Christ? Amen. Is it He that sowed the seed in you that's bringing forth fruit in your life? And of the children of the priests, the children of Ahabiah, the children of Hakaz, the children of Barzillai, who took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai the Gileadite, and was called after their name. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found." "Therefore were they deemed polluted and put from the priesthood." You know that we are a priesthood. All of us are priests of the Lord, right? "And the governor said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things." If God says you don't eat of these holy things, you're just not going to eat it, because these things are what creates Christ in you, right? In other words, there was a problem here deciding a who's who here, but it says, "until there stood up a priest with the Urim and the Thummim." Well, what was that for? To make decisions? They use it to make decisions whether they would go to war, who was the guilty one in their midst, who was the righteous one, etc., etc. So, why would they be waiting for this to make these decisions? Well, these people who are returning to Jerusalem or attempting to return to the bride were the people who were taken captive. But now they want to return. See, some will not be back because they're not of the genealogy of Jesus. They're like that other family in the house. They're not of the genealogy of Jesus. By the seed of the Word. See, the word seed in some places in Matthew 13, where it talks about sowing the seed, the word seed is sperma. God's sperma is the Word. If it's not the Word living in the womb of your heart that brings forth the fruit of Jesus Christ, then you don't have any rights to the promised land. You especially don't have any rights to the bride. And the high priest, notice that they're waiting for a priest with the Urim and the Thummim. The high priest, Jesus, in the man-child, will stand up and be able to distinguish who is the true offspring with discernment that's just as good as the Urim and Thummim. Because as I've said before, these people are going to have one foot before the throne and one foot on this earth. They're going to behold the face of the Father as they do these works, just like Jesus. Got a question? We all do. But I tell you, there's some people coming with all the answers here. All the answers that you're supposed to have. Amen? Wow. And she also got Matthew 8 and 10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Oh my goodness. Here's the sons of the kingdom that are falling short. No faith. Well, you know salvation is to the people that have faith, right? So those who have lost the faith will be replaced. Well, we'll just read on. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast forth into outer darkness. What happened? They got replaced. Why? They didn't have faith. You know, in order to obey the Word, you have to have faith that it is the Word of God Almighty. You can't ignore it. You can't scoff at it. Just because somebody else speaks it to you doesn't mean you don't have to obey it because you're competitive with them or angry with them. If you don't obey, you will be replaced with someone who will. We obey through faith. When we have faith, God gives us grace. What is that grace? It's His obedience in us. He works in us. He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Right? Sons of the kingdom will be cast forth in outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Now here's a guy that wasn't, according to nature and according to the flesh, a Jew. He had not the covenant according to the flesh. But now Jesus was saying, you get the benefits of the kingdom because you believed. The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes. Who is it that's going to be saved while the sons of the kingdom are cast forth? People like this. And he got the kingdom benefit because it went on to say, and the servant was healed in that hour. There are many people who are missing out on the kingdom benefits now because they do not believe. And there's many that are going to miss out on tribulation times when they desperately need them because they do not believe. And if you sin against God's people, you will not get grace to believe because grace is a gift from God. And faith is a gift from God. So we see here, people who were sons of the kingdom will be reprobated, as many others who will come to take their crown and their kingdom benefits. Ruth 4 and 2, And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here, And they sat down. And he said unto the near kinsman, this is all about the near kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab into what? The promised land. Back to the kingdom of God, right? To the mountain of God, right? Selleth the parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's, which means my God is king. And I thought to disclose it unto thee, saying, buy it before them that sit here. In other words, you redeem it before witnesses and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, who here was a type of the kinsman redeemer, and I believe that he represents Jesus and the man-child. So here's the people coming back out of the land to be redeemed and to have their seed replenished, right? So it went on to say, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, which means friend, right? She represents the bride. Of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. So, you know, if a widow, her husband did not raise up seed unto the widow to carry on the lineage, then a kinsman redeemer could do that in that day. Don't try it today. In that day. And the near kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. So that left it to Boaz, right? And he told him, take thou my right of redemption on thee, for I cannot redeem it. So, we got the kinsman redeemer text yesterday. That was just the day before we got this text from her. We got the kinsman redeemer text, the same text, in our morning prayer meeting. See how many confirmations we get of these things? This means that if the leader or the head of the house is spiritually dead, the kinsman redeemer can raise up true seed through his widow, meaning those who originally received the seed as followers of their dead leader that returned to the promised land. So, when they come to the promised land, if their husband is dead, their head of their house, their head is dead, like an awful lot of people out there, their leaders are dead. They're just totally dead. But if you return to the promised land, you can have a kinsman redeemer. And of course, there at the promised land, they find a kinsman redeemer ready to raise up their house with true seed and support them, amazingly, just as Job did in the very next text that Missy received. By random. You think it's such a thing as random? Some people think you're gambling. But there ain't no such thing as gambling. Whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. No such thing as gambling. Chance. There's no such thing as chance. You don't believe in a sovereign God if you believe in chance. So the very next text that she got, Job 29:11, says this, for when the ear heard me, then it blessed me. When the eye saw me, it gave witness unto me. Because I delivered the poor that cried. You know, Job was a kinsman redeemer, wasn't he? The fatherless also that had none to help him. So he's redeeming someone who lost their father, lost their head, right? The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. I caused the widow, there she is right there, the widow's heart to sing for joy. Praise God. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings? Undeserving, that's what we are, as the old song says. So, you know, if you're going to go to the bride out of bondage, you got to prove your lineage. You got to prove your seed. And you got to prove that you belong in the promised land. Jesus was called Everlasting Father. Actually, it means Father of Eternity. He's the one that sows the seed in the hearts of the believer that makes them a member of His family. Right? Because that seed in your heart brings forth Jesus Christ. He's your ticket. If you don't have Him, you ain't a-going. And praise God for that, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. What God is doing is He is cleansing His body and getting ready for the tribulation. Ready for a people who are pure, that can speak the Word of God. Amen? Folks, we're going to see signs and wonders like the world has never seen, because Jesus lives in us, and He said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. He is going to do greater works in these days through His people who have the Word, who is Jesus, living in them. Right? Oh, glory to God. And what Missy said was, what I see here is that the Lord is saying that our prayers and spiritual warfare for those that were taken captive are about to be answered. Yep, I think about a third of them are going to come back to be in the bride or to be under the bride. I'm not sure which. Praise God. God is awesome. Brethren, let me ask you this. Please spend time casting down the demons and freeing our brethren. Speak to the mountain. Don't doubt in your heart that what you say will come to pass, as the Lord commanded. Speak to the giants. Remember my revelation, which I spoke against the giants in the land? No, smaller, smaller, smaller. Remember that revelation? Well, I had taken the old man captive in a neck lock so he couldn't speak. And I was dragging him down this wilderness trail. And I came around a corner, and there was a giant standing by a campfire. I knew he was a giant in the revelation, but he wasn't that big. I turned the old man loose just for a moment, and when he saw the giant, he said, bigger, bigger, bigger. Because you know what? When you let the old man speak, he always makes things worse. He speaks in agreement with the curse instead of agreement with the blessing. Out of the same mouth, or well, should not come blessing and cursing, right? So, when you find out what the problem is and what you're supposed to believe, you should be believing for it, speaking it, accepting it, right? So speak to the mountains. Speak to the demons. They got to obey you. Jesus told them they had to. And He told you that they had to. So He gave you authority over all the power of the enemy, of the devil, all of it. So remember, speak it. Does it have to come to pass immediately? Well, no, it doesn't have to come pass immediately. But if you speak it, you're the one with the Word in your heart. You're the one that can prove the lineage of Jesus Christ. You're the one that's blowing the trumpet, right? The enemy's going to slaughter themselves. I'm just telling you, you're the ones blowing the trumpet. Start speaking the Word of the Lord. Speak to the giants. And when this old man, when I turned him loose just for a moment to say, bigger, 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 I chopped him right in the Adam's apple, and I said, no, smaller, smaller, smaller. And I knew that my words had to be obeyed. The old man will speak the giant bigger. He'll speak the problem bigger. He'll speak the curse on you. The wicked who run around judging God's people as though they are judges, these people speak the curse. That's all they speak. And if you listen to it, the curse comes into you. That's all they speak. They don't know how to speak faith because they don't have any faith. And you can't have faith for the wicked. They won't see any peace. They won't see any blessing. There is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. You remember the symbol, right? The white background, the peace symbol, right? Surrounded by the wicked with troubles, you know. So begin to speak in agreement with the promises of God, because we've been delivered out of the curse. And you know what? When it's the right time, it's going to come to pass. If you don't ever speak it, it won't come to pass because you haven't spoken it. But if you do speak it, when it's the right time, it's going to come to pass. Now, God's going to cleanse His body. And the people that have been kicked out, basically, are getting dumber and dumber and dumber. Because everything that was given to them is gone. All the wisdom. They don't even understand that they're bringing a curse on themselves by doing such things. Anytime you walk in willful disobedience, I'm talking about you, whatever your problem might be. If you walk in willful disobedience, you don't have a sacrifice for your sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. So if you don't want to be devoured, remember in Matthew 18, the man who wouldn't forgive his fellow servant, and when his Lord found out about it, oh my, he had him thrown into prison and his family till he should pay everything, pay all of his own debt, which the Lord had forgiven him of freely. And so the same thing is true today. Those that are going out there to judge for selfish reasons, to make disciples, if you can't, if it's only the immature that buy that, just as these revelations say, it's only the immature that accept that, because anybody that looks at the fruit of these people are going to know that what they say can't be the truth. God won't give the truth to wicked people. Have you noticed that? Who is it that's going to eat of the hidden manna? Him that overcometh. See? Now, they can tell all kinds of lies on you, because when demons are in people, they just accept any kind of gossip, any kind of foolishness they can say out there, you know. So they falsely accuse everybody that their father does. And that is the devil, the accuser of the brethren. But we know what Zechariah says, you know. When Joshua was brought before the Lord by the devil himself, he rebuked him. This is a brand plucked out of the fire. Put a clean mitre on his head. Clean clothes on him. That's how the Lord saw him. Praise be to God. I tell you what, if God gives grace to someone and you don't, you're the one that's in trouble. Right? Amen. Wow, so this is a very neat revelation. All came together very quickly. Talking about cleansing invaders from the house of God. Well, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, we can see that your job that you've spoken to us about, cleansing the body, is coming very quickly to fruition. Lord, we're giving praise to you because we know it's just like in Joel chapter 2. It's just like in Joel chapter 2 when the northern army was coming against your people and had conquered everybody all the way up to Jerusalem, that the bride cried out. Jerusalem cried out, "Spare your people, O Lord." And that's when you heard. You didn't hear before that, Lord, because It was their job to take out these idolaters, rebels, sinners, etc. Bring them under the beast, so to speak. It was their job. But when they came up against Jerusalem, the bride, the one that is the most beautiful, then they found great trouble. And they were smitten. And but your bride was spared, Lord. So, Lord, we're getting closer and closer to that. The people that aren't the bride are being taken out. They're being proven by their sins that they're not. They're being taken out. Oh, Lord, this is so awesome. Lord, we can see you're getting ready to start your revival with some holy people. Lord, I remember looking at revivals in the past that came in the midst of reprobate people. And then I realized this wasn't a revival at all. This was a deception. This was a deceiving revival. It came in to take people captive. Lord, we know that your holy people won't buy a lie. Your mature people won't buy a lie. So, Lord, we just ask you, in Jesus' name, to watch out for our brethren as they're out there under the beast, and bring them to repentance through that crucifixion, and bring them back to us, O Lord, in Jesus' name, as we know you've told us you're going to do time and time again. So we thank you for it, Father. And Lord, please bless our week this week, and let us be fruitful. Let us multiply. Let us bring forth fruit for you, Lord. Grant us grace, Lord, to walk humbly before you. And yes, Lord, to take up our cross and follow you. Lord, give us grace to be mature in you, Lord. Lord, I can see that you're separating your wise, your beautiful, your noble people. And you're going to give them a great job of doing the same thing that you did when you were on the earth and chose a bride, and John the Baptist said, he that the bride is the bridegroom, and you sent the bride out to begin the revival. Oh, glory be to God. You sowed into their heart good things, and they went forth to begin the revival, to bring the gospel and the healing and the deliverance and etc., etc., etc. All these good things, Father. We know that's what you're doing now, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Grant us repentance from everything that's contrary to you, Lord. Please speak to us. Please open our eyes and our ears. Speak to us, Lord. We want to serve you. We ask you, Lord, that you give us a strong conviction of sin, that we turn away from the things of the old man, that we recognize the old man and his doings and his thoughts. We recognize the accuser of the brethren, no matter what mouth he speaks out of. We recognize him. We thank you, Father, for pouring out your Spirit upon us, empowering us to walk in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you, saints, for joining us again today. The Lord bless you and be with you. I love you. Please pray for me. Please pray for the brethren that are out there being tested at the waters to see who it is. It's going to be in the end time remnant to conquer the beast. Amen? Oh, praises to your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen.